Good evening. This is Rabbi Mayevsky. Tonight's shiur is being learned for Refuah Shleima from Avraham Chizkiyahu ben Bluma. Once again, we wish him well. We hope he's improving, and we give him our blessing. We hope the schutz from the shiurim are doing what they're supposed to do, what we hopefully to do. If we're saying tillim, it's always worthwhile. The shiur this week is very interesting, and I entitled it A Recipe for Success. And that's exactly what it is, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to know certain things. Now, we know when we daven, generally speaking, if you Hebrew, you can read it in English, many things, yes, but there are certain things that can only be said in Hebrew. Interestingly enough, it's three parshas in a row that we have from Shoftim, Kisetze, and Kisavo. We have three examples, three parshas in a row. And we have the Lashon Vioniso, Viomarta, by today. We have Yonu, Viomru, Yodenu, Lo Shafku, Es Adama Azeh, by the end of Shoftim. And in last week's parsha, by the Egla Rufa, we said in Shoftim. And the other one, I said the Onisa Viomarta by Bikurim, and the Onsal Viomra by Chalitza. Those three things that the Gemara tells us that when it has a double lashon like that, what we have to say is in Hebrew. And it's very interesting because what we bring, the parsha begins with Bikurim. And what is the purpose of Bikurim? God wants to see us one time of year. We could give, is it tzedakah to show that we appreciate God? But we have to bring the Bikurim to Yerushalayim. We have to bring the Bikurim for God to under the auspices of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a wonderful thing, of course. But God wants to see us and appreciate all the munificence that He showed us in the past year. And we have to say it in Hebrew. But the Lashon is a very interesting one. And we begin it and we say, V'yonisa V'yomarta, and we say the Lashon that we say in the Haggadah, Arami Oved Ovi Vayered Mitzrayma Vayogar Sham B'Mseimiyot. What is the reason that we begin with Arami Oved Ovi? Certainly we would think that if we're going back to the beginning of all the things that God has done for us, we could go back to Avraham Avinu and all the Nisyonos. We could go back to Yitzhak, who was willing to sacrifice him on the Akedah, the same as Avram had in Nisayon, and all the travails that they had in their life. But we focus on Lavan and Yaakov. And the fact remains that through all of the Nisyonos that Yaakov had to endure the whole time he was there, and he left with all of this money, and they accumulated a great amount of wealth, and they went down to Mitzrayim with only 70 people, and it was unbelievable that they embarked on the journey there with 70 people, and they grew to 3 million people. But even though they, as we say in the Haggadah, they became so great, they really took over Egypt in many levels, and they were so wonderful, they accomplished so much, they were such a major part of Egyptian society, but of course that always breeds jealousy. And we see that that's what happened in the expulsion in 1492, the same thing happened in Germany, throughout history in the Crusades. All of these things were basically a form of jealousy, an outright jealousy, that they couldn't take it, that the small amounts of people and nothing would help, no matter how much we do for society. We've highlighted before so many miracles, so many things that the Jews have benefited society, but yet it doesn't make a difference. All they see is the negativity that they try to focus on and bring us down, and that's what the Mitzrayim did. And they enslaved us rather than lionize us and thank us for all the things that we accomplished and all the buildings that we did for them and everything that we did. We had cheap labor, obviously. We were able to do things for them, and we did it very well. But they tried to eliminate us, especially towards the end, Kolabein Hayilot, Hayorot Hashlichu, and things just got worse and worse no matter how much we did for them. didn't seem to make any difference. We see that throughout the ages, this has been our lot in life. And what we're trying to focus on is the only thing with all of the things that happened and all of the negativity after all of the greatness that we did and all the wealth that we accumulated early on in Egypt that was all for naught, the end result is the only time that we were able to finally get out of Mitzrayim is Vanitzak El Hashem Elokei Avoseinu, that they finally cried, when they finally were downtrodden to the point where they had nowhere else to turn, and they finally raised their voices and called out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is when we were helped by God. And that is the point of what we say. We want to read those words in Hebrew. But all of the things that happened to Yaakov, it's only when we cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we come down to Yerushalayim, we come down in front of God, and we give him the Bikurim just to show that we appreciate everything that happened. Which brings us to the next level, the next focal point of the parsha. Of course, we see the Tokacha, but that's not what we're getting into tonight particularly, but that's why I say these things are all a recipe for success. But what we're trying to highlight is the greatness of God and how we are expected to remember him and what God wants us to focus on, how and where. The next thing that we come that's right before the Tokacha is God says, when you cross the Jordan River, now, we don't know where these stones are. The Gemara has this quandary about what was the point. It says, Visadato Sombasid, and then it says again, Uvanisa Sham, and that not only does it say, but it says again a couple of sukkim later to take these great stones. And once again, it says to take the stones. But, of course, it's not saying it twice. It's telling us first to take the stones. And then what it's telling us is what to do with the stones. And the Sadatol Samba said, the Gemara asked the question, do we write on it first and then put the lime on? But, of course, the obvious problem is, then what is the point of writing on it first if then we cover it with lime? Nobody would see it. And so what many of the Mepharshim say is that the one opinion in the Gemara, and certainly some Rishonim are of the opinion, obviously, that we put the lime on, because to scratch out as Kol Divrei HaTorah Azos on a stone would be impossible to be able to scratch all of those words. We have to have a basis, a form of something to scratch onto, and therefore cover it with lime, and then it would be visible. If we scratch it into the rock, how would it be visible? And so we cover it with lime, and then we start to say, now what did we write on the rock? Did we write this once again, since we don't have them to look at, and the Torah is less than explicit about how it was to be done? We don't know exactly what was written on it. And there's a machlokas, if it was all the mitzvos, or did we write as Kol Divrei HaTorah? So since Moshe is saying this, and Moshe was the one who told us the entire Sefer Devarim, these are Moshe's words explaining the Torah that we learned up to now, and that Moshe is telling him, on these rocks, I want you to tell the story. And I want you to tell the story. The story is for other people to see, but the story is mainly for you to see, because what is the amazing thing about the stones that will always be remembered? That they had to roll these massive boulders out of the bottom. Obviously, they don't float. They would have to roll them out of the Jordan River. And these would always be a reminder of these stones that we're talking about came from the Jordan River. And where do we let them dot the landscape, like the Badlands and the Dakotas, where we have these major boulders that nobody seems to understand how they got there in the middle of some place, nowhere near any kind of water or something, or no rock formations that could show Now they assume it came from the Missouri River, but nevertheless, which was 1,000 miles away, so speculation it was from the marble, but that's another point. The fact is they would always remind themselves, but where did God say to put these stones? Bahar Eval, on Har Eval. Tell the story, because that's what you're going to look at. This is the story, how we rose from the ashes, the same way the phoenix rises, so to speak, in the vernacular. But the point is, we being downtrodden, we want to recount the whole story that we were so downtrodden, and yet when we cried out to our Kadosh Baruch Hu, he came to our rescue, and now we tell this story and put it on a permanent stone, and however they transport it up to the top of Har Eval and do it there. Of course, what was the scenario of Har Gerizim and Har Eval? Who was doing all the talking? Did the people, and once again, the Gemara is not sure, did the people on the Levium stood in the middle, but then it says Shimon, Levi, Vihuda. How did they choose the six people on one side and the six the other? Was there a punishment for those to sit on Har Eval? Rather, it's not focused on anybody, and it's not the way it says it in the Chumash. Each one that they said, V'eila, Yamdu al Habaracha, al Har Gerizim, and they would start off, you know, this is Arur Ha'ish and Baruch Atah Bo'ir, Baruch Atah Basodeh. They would say Baruch Atah Bo'ir, and then they would Arur. It would be one Baruch and one Arur. And the people that were on Har Eval would be talking to the people on Har Gerizim. The people on Har Gerizim would be talking to the ones on Har Eval. Nobody, if you take a look at the Lashon, is saying that the people on Har Eval or Har Gerizim are entitled to the bracha or the klala. It's just that we're saying that Eile Yamdu, if you focus on what you're supposed to do, that is your recipe for success. Once you do the mitzvot that are outlined that you're supposed to do, then they stay away from all the negativity in the tochacha, that the rebuke that we have in the parsha, that is your recipe for success. And how do we maintain that success? Is by reminding ourselves, looking at that stone in between all year long, when you would think that this certainly should be the greatest tourist attraction in those days, would be to visit those stones for the generations to come, to see that how in the world did they get these boulders out of the Yarden. It would be a tremendous miracle in itself. And therefore, that's what God wants. It's everything is a reminder for the crossing of the Yarden and the whole story of the 40 years of the journey in the Midbar, the war with Sichon, the war with the Amori, the war with getting into Eretz Yisrael, all the wars that they fought to get them with whether it was with Amalek or the other wars that they had, and all the things that they had to endure in the Midbar for 40 years, and how they came through it all and now finally crossed the Jordan River into Eretz Yisrael. These are the reminders, so that even in between times when we're Ola Rego three times a year, but what about the times in between Pesach and Sukkot? We have 6 months. We could always go and visit those stones. Halavai, we should be able to see those stones. I think that would change a lot of people's minds and avoid all of the naysayers that we have. But that's really what God wants. We don't want something that we could readily see. God hopes that we have faith and trust in Emuna, in God himself, because he said so and the Torah says so. But if we had those stones, imagine how the world would look at them. I'm sure the dating would fall in line with how old they are. And so when we say V'sadato Osam Basid, these are to be permanent forever. Hopefully in our days, somewhere along the line, we will once again find these stones. And the world, these are one of the things that the world will come to realize Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. Once again, we wish a Refuah Shleima for Avram Chizkiyahu Ben Bluma. Have a good evening and good night.